Chapter 31. Keep Watch. Fear shuddered through me like an electric shock. I saw stormtroopers bursting into my bedroom, waving their rifles. I saw the SS man pointing his gun at Ezra's basket. "We have to tell someone," I said. My voice was small and strained. "We can't," said Molly. "They'd arrest him and make him tell them everything he knows, and then Dad would be arrested." "He's got a gun, Molly," I said. "What if he breaks into the house tonight and kills us all?" Frank made a strangled sobbing sound. Molly shot me a fierce look. "Don't be stupid. Why would he do that? He's a spy, not a murderer. He's here to send messages back to Germany, not kill people. Anyway, he needs us to bring him food and water, and he can't even walk at the moment. So I don't know why you're saying ridiculous things like that just to frighten Frank." "It's not to frighten Frank," I said. My voice came out strangely. The garden gates squeaked open, and Auntie Rose's voice called, "Molly, Frank, Anna, are you out here?" Molly leaned over the edge of the platform, parted the leaves and called, "We're in the treehouse. Supper's nearly ready. Come down and wash your hands." "Coming," said Molly. We waited as the footsteps receded. When we heard the back door shut again, Molly turned to me and said, "Listen, he can't do any harm at the moment, can he? His wireless is broken, his ankle is most likely broken, and he'll probably spend all night sleeping."
"But what if he mends his wireless? We know he was trying to mend it before. He told us to go away so he could sleep, didn't he? I bet he's busy mending it right now."
"It might be completely broken," said Molly. "He might not be able to mend it at all."
"But he might. We don't know."
"Maybe that's why he asked us to post a letter," said Frank. "If he can't get his wireless working, he'll need to write to people instead."
I looked at Frank with new respect. "Of course. We know he's not really writing to his mother."
"So he's writing to his spy masters back in Germany," said Molly, "and feeding them information. Or he's part of a spy ring in this country, and they need to communicate with each other to plan their attacks."
Frank's eyes sparkled. "I bet it will be in code. We can steam it open and crack the code."
"Great sort of code it will be if a 7-year-old can crack it," said Molly.
"So we need to pass it on to somebody," I said. "You must see that, Molly. We can't keep this to ourselves. That letter will be passing on secret information, and the government needs to know about it."
"But he doesn't actually know any secret information, does he?" said Molly. "We fooled him, didn't we? He doesn't actually know where Mr. Churchill will be because we gave him the wrong information. So even if he does send a message, they won't attack here."
Frank gasped. "No, they'll attack Muddle Green. They'll attack Granny and Grandad."
Molly turned pale. Then she said, "They won't be able to find it. There's no signposts."
"They probably have maps," I said. "Or they'll be disguised as British soldiers like he is, and they'll trick somebody into giving them directions."
"But even if they do get there, they'll see there aren't any soldiers there and they'll know they're in the wrong place."
"So then they'll get really angry and come here and kill us because we lied to them," said Frank.
"Or the Luftwaffe might bomb Muddle Green from the air," I said.
Frank's eyes filled with tears. "This is bad. It's really bad. We should tell someone."
"We have to think of something," said Molly. "We have to think of a way to get him caught without Dad getting into trouble."
"We could ask him not to tell about Dad," said Frank.
Molly gave him a withering look.
"He's a Nazi, Frank. I don't think they care about being kind to people."
"No," I said, "they don't. We have to tell the police. And if you don't, I shall."
Molly and I stared at each other for a moment. Then she said, "All right, this is what we'll do. We'll take turns to watch him. We'll hide in the barn. If we creep in through that gap in the wall under the loft where the plank's missing, he won't see us coming or going. We'll sit right underneath the loft and hear every move he makes. And if he does get his wireless mended and send a message, we'll tell the police immediately, all right. But if he doesn't, everybody's safe. And then tomorrow we'll find a way to properly destroy his wireless so he can't do any more damage." "And after that," I said, "what about when his ankle gets better and he tries to get away?"
"I don't know yet, but it gives us a bit more time to think of something."
The back gate opened again. "Molly," called Auntie Rose, "come in for tea right now, all of you."
"Coming," yelled Molly.
She stood up and started to climb down the rope ladder.
Right, she whispered. Who's doing the first shift?